Knowing and understanding that the Bible is real, what I want to look at tonight is what the person who commentated my Bible, I suppose, put a heading over this chapter. It says, David, prays in great distress, and he promises public thanksgiving and praise to the chief musician, a psalm of David. So we know that this is a psalm of David. But a lot of people, and I myself include, I believe that this is a forecasting, foreshadowing, a prophecy of what Jesus is going to go through. And David is suffering, and we know that he's in great distress, and we know that several times in his life he was in great distress. But a lot of these, they are almost word for word what Jesus suffered and then what was said about Jesus on the cross. There are a lot of authors throughout history that have written phenomenal books, great, wonderful books, and I've read a lot of them. I've read them books that are like that, and there's five of them to a series, and I read through them, and I loved to read. But there's not an author in the world that has ever wrote a book with as much references front to back as the book that we have sitting before us. There's not another one on the planet. There's not another one that comes close, let alone a book that is authored by multiple different people living in different places, in different times, compiled together, all talking about the same thing. It's never been done before other than the Bible, and it's never been done since. People have tried to rearrange it and refit it, but they can't get away from the actual truth. With that being said, I believe that even the Bibles that people take and distort and pervert away from what we consider to be the true gospel, I do believe that they are rooted in what is the true gospel. Although they are incorrect in many places, although they leave out a lot of very, very important scripture, I believe with all of my heart that people can see God in those Bibles, just like we see them in ours. Maybe not to read and study, and definitely not to take it to truth. And I believe that it's the Holy Spirit's job to let them know that they need to get them a Bible that reads right. But I believe that the NIV, as messed up as it is, someone can read it and still see Christ and be saved. I believe that somebody can take the ESV or the NASB or all of the different acronyms, even the Message. If you've never read one, bless your heart. Because the Message Bible is way out in left field. But if you take and read a few of the scriptures, it's kind of hard to get, but you can still find Jesus in there. And so many times our world tries to take and twist the scripture where it's still considered Bible, but it's not quite considered Bible. And as Christians, we don't know it, but we tend to want to do this too. We tend to want to take the scripture and apply it to our life. Anybody ever heard somebody pray that? Lord, help me take this scripture and apply it to my life. Lord, help us take these scriptures and apply it to our lives. Y'all have heard people pray that? Y'all ever prayed that? Me too. I don't like that. And I'll tell you why. I was applying a coat of stain to some cabinets the other day. And whenever I applied that stain to the cabinets, it changed the cabinets. Right? Whenever they stain, so this is early American, looks like. This wood used to be a different color. And if you look up underneath here, they didn't stain the bottom. You can see it, it's a different color. It's light. But whenever they applied this thing, it changed this table to a point that it can never, ever, ever go back again. I don't want to apply the Bible to my life unless I'm going to let the Bible change my life. That makes sense? I don't want to throw a sheet over it. I don't want to apply the Bible to my life until I'm ready for it to make an absolute change. And we can't do that until we accept the Bible as absolute truth. Psalm chapter number 22, verse number 1. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Does that sound familiar? My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Now, David knows that God has never forsaken him. And beginning right here, this is why I believe that this is a foreshadowing or a prophecy of what is to come. Why art thou so far from helping me? Why are and from the words of my roaring? Oh, my God, I will cry in the daytime, but thou hearest night, and in the night season and am not silent. But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel. Our fathers trusted in thee. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. They cried unto thee and were delivered, and they trusted unto thee and were not confounded. But I am a worm, and no man, a reproach of men, despised of the people. David was never despised of all of the people. Jesus was. And they that see me laugh, help me to scorn. And they that shoot out the lip, they shake their heads, saying, he trusted in the Lord, that he would deliver him. They said, if thou be the Christ, get off the cross. If you're really Jesus, you can come down. He trusted on the Lord that he would deliver him. Let him deliver him, seeing he delighted in him. But thou art he that took me out of the womb. Thou didst make me hope when I was upon my mother's breast. I was cast upon thee from the womb. Thou art my God from my mother's belly. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. In the back of my Bible, and I have a Thompson Chain Reference Bible. In the back of my Bible, I have what they call study helps. And it's just reference materials, all this. But in the very back, it has some very interesting study material. And this says prophecies and their fulfillment arranged chronologically. And if you'd like to take a look at it, I'll let you take a look at it at church. It's really neat. But it shows all the prophecies and when they were fulfilled and what the fulfillment was. And there's prophecies of the king and then prophecies of the suffering. It splits them all up. I want to read a few of these to you because several of them comes from the book of Psalms. Psalm 41:9. Yea, mine own familiar friend in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. A psalm of David. Fulfilled in Mark 14:10, Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went into the chief priest to betray him. Psalm 109:7-8, when he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office. Judas's office to be taken by another. Acts 1:18, now this man purchased a field with the iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and his bowels gushed out. For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate. Psalm 27, verse 12, the false witnesses accuse him. Another psalm of David, deliver me not into the will of mine enemies. False witnesses are risen up against me, such breathe out cruelty. Matthew 26, this is fulfilled. He said, but found none, yea, many false witnesses came, and yet there are none. And at last two came false witnesses. And the fellow said, I am able to destroy the temple of God and build it back in 3 days. And they prophesied or they witnessed falsely against Jesus. Again, all of this is quoted in Psalms. And what's the chapter? Not the chapter. What is the book you think of, Brother Dean, whenever you think a book of prophecy? There's one right answer. What's the book? Close. The book that we think prophesies the most about Jesus. Isaiah. Isaiah, we believe, prophesies the most about Jesus. And Isaiah and David did not live at the same time. Tell me again how the Word of God cannot be true. It has to be. They didn't live at the same time. They weren't talking to each other. They weren't sitting next to each other. Hey, what are you going to put on this page? It's like two guys were sitting there taking a test together and the teacher said, I know you cheated. The man said, well, how do you know I cheated? He said, because whenever he put, I don't know, you put me either. They weren't sitting beside each other. They didn't copy off each other. Psalm 69:4 said, they hate me without cause. For they are more than the hairs of mine head. They would destroy me, being my enemies wrongfully. John 15, he said, he that hateth me hateth my Father also. Several of these are from Isaiah, and then we're going to get to Psalm chapter 22, which is where we're at right now. He says in verse 16, for the dogs have compassed me. The assembly of the wicked have enclosed me, and they have pierced my hands and my feet. John 20 and 27. He told Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. Reach hither thy hand, and thrust into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. Psalm 22, 6. He was balked and insulted. He said, but I am a worm and no man, reproached of men, despised of my people. All they see me laugh me to scorn. They shoot out the lip and they shake their head, saying he trusted on the Lord that would deliver him. Let him deliver him. Matthew 27 says they reviled him, wagging their heads, saying, get down off this cross if thou be the Christ. David prophesied of what was to come in Jesus. David prophesied hundreds of years before. Isaiah prophesied hundreds of years before. Abraham stood over the altar about to kill his only son. And God sent a sacrifice in the form of a ram. The same blood sacrifice that he sent in the form of Jesus Christ. And how can we then not believe that the Bible is true? How can we then not obey the Bible? How can we then not yearn to read the Bible? I've read this psalm over and over. I never liked the book of Psalms till the last couple of years, and I've really learned to appreciate it a little more. But every time we read it, there's something new. There's something different. And in verse 17, he says, I may tell all my bones. They look and they stare upon me. They part my garments and cast lots. Didn't that happen in the New Testament? They said he pierced his side and they looked upon his bones from the stripes. Verse 14, he said, I'm poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax that is melted into the midst of my bowels. And whenever the guards came to break Jesus' legs, why didn't they break them? He was already dead. He had given up the ghost, fulfilling yet another prophecy written by David, his great, 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 great granddaddy. Hundreds of years before. How can we then not believe the Bible? So, I ask again, is the Bible true? Yes. Do you believe the Bible? Yes. Good. Matthew chapter, do what? Unicorns and all. Matthew chapter 5. Study about the dinosaurs. That's a really fun one. It's really weird, but it's really fun. Matthew chapter 5. We believe the Bible, right? The Bible is true, right? The Bible is honest, and the Bible should be the standard by which we measure our life. Matthew chapter 5, verse 48, be perfect. There you go. Simple as that. You believe the Bible, be perfect. That's it. Be perfect. That's all you got to do. Jesus preached what we consider to be the Sermon on the Mount, right? And it's his first sermon that we have record of. If we could apply chapter 5 to our life, we could be perfect. You believe that? Jesus went through 46 verses telling us how to be perfect. And he ends it with, be perfect. Golly, it's peacocks. Be perfect. He begins with the first step of being perfect, and this is going to take us back to David. verse 3, he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God." Until we humble ourselves to allow the word of God to change our life, to allow God to change our life, we will never be perfect. We will never be where we ought to be. We will never be where we could be. We will never be where we should be until we allow the word of God to change our life. Has anyone ever tried to get stain off of a piece of oak before? Nobody? This wood is called stain for a reason. So what it does is it's not just paint. You can sand paint off. If you take sand that sheetrock long enough or the door molding long enough, eventually you're going to find wood that paint has not touched. The paint is just surface. It soaks in a little bit, but not much. This stain is going to soak in to about 30 to 40% the depth of this wood, being 3/4 inch oak. It's going to soak in almost halfway through that wood. And so whenever it soaks in, you're not going to get it out. It's just not going to happen. And whenever you're staining, if you've ever used a rag to stain, especially a big tabletop like this, what you'll do is you'll set your stain bucket right here, and you'll dip the rag in there, and then you'll come over here and start in this corner. And whenever you do that, you'll drip right here. Or that's what I do. Y'all know what I do. I drip right across it. Whenever I do, then it is absolutely terribly difficult to get them couple of dots off of there. Because as soon as it hits, boom, soaked in, just like that. If our life could be sponges for the Word of God, if we could take and allow the Word of God to inundate us, to change us at our very core, that is what Matthew chapter 25 is about. If we believe the Bible, then this ought to change us. This ought to change everything. Jesus said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit. Blessed are they that mourn. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness. Blessed are the merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the peacemakers. Blessed are they who are persecuted." He said, "You want to be perfect? Here's how you do it." He didn't stop there. Anybody think they got all the Beatitudes down? Good. Me either. We have a long way to go. We can do it together. He continues in verse 13. He says, "Ye are the salt of the earth." Verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. I say unto you," verse 20, "except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven, because it is not by our righteousness that we enter the kingdom of heaven," right? It's by the righteousness of Jesus. That is it. That is the only way. He said, "Ye have heard." And he says this in verse 21, 27, 33, 38, and 43. He said, "Ye have heard what is right and wrong." But I don't want you to be right. Jesus don't want us to be normal. Jesus does not want us to be average. He wants us to be great. He wants us to be above and beyond. All my life, everyone who has ever wished for good things in my life did not wish for me to be average. In high school, I played basketball. My dad did not want me to be average. He wanted me to be better than average. I played baseball. He did not want me to be average. He wanted me to be better than average. I got to college and I was told, "Hey, you got to make A's because C's aren't going to cut it. You have to be better than average. You have to strive for excellence. Whenever you build something, it has to be perfect. It can't be something that anybody else can do. It needs to be above the standard. Everything that we do needs to be above the standard." Right? Have y'all found which pew is out of line yet? No? Okay, I didn't tell you that. Whenever you look down these pews, you know what they put them down with? Put them down with a laser string. Because it has to be perfect. Otherwise, you'll see that one that's a little bit crooked. And it's no longer right. It's as absolutely close to dead on as you could possibly get. Because average ain't good enough. You don't want an average carpet installer. You want the best. You don't want an average painter. You want the best. God don't want an average Christian. He wants the best. And Jesus said, "Ye have heard that you are not supposed to kill." That's easy. But he said, if you're angry with your brother in your heart, that's the same thing. He said, overcome that and you'll be great. He said, you have heard that you are not supposed to commit adultery. That's easy. You commit adultery, you're bad. Right? You don't commit adultery, you're supposed to be good. But Jesus said that any man that looketh upon a woman hath already committed adultery with her in his heart. He said, if you want to be great, then you have got to put lust out of your life. You have to overcome evil with good. You have to feed that spiritual dog. I've made that analogy before, that there are two dogs inside of us fighting, and the dog who wins is the one that we feed. What are we feeding into our life? What are we watching? What are we reading? What are we seeing? What are we hearing? What are we listening to? What are we feeding? If we want to be perfect, we have to believe the Word of God. If we believe the Word of God, then we will, as Jesus said, deny ourselves, take up our cross, follow Him. That's all it takes, and you'll be perfect. Easy enough, right? Nothing to it. Emily used to say, easy peasy lemon squeezy. Jesus took 46 verses. Probably took him about 3.5-4 minutes to say this as a sermon. He took 46 verses and he told us how to be perfect. He said, you have heard an eye for an eye and a cheek for a cheek. But I tell you to love your neighbor, to turn the other cheek. You have heard that you are to hate your enemies and love your friends. But I tell you to love everybody, even as your Father in heaven loves everybody. And he finishes it out with be perfect. Do you believe the Bible? We've established that. Of course, everybody's a little more quiet now. We believe the Bible. We believe that the Bible is true. We believe that the Bible is accurate. And if we believe the Bible, then we believe that perfection comes through obedience to God. That perfection comes through work. That perfection comes through strife. That perfection comes through... Perfection comes through messing up. Perfection comes through trial and error. When I was playing basketball in high school, and I won't forget it, it happened to me this past week. We were playing out of Pine. And Daddy always told me, when you're on the right side of the goal, what hand do you shoot with? Right hand. That way you can put your defender on your left shoulder and shoot with your right hand. When you're on the left side of the goal, what hand do you shoot with? Your left hand. You put the defender on your right shoulder, you shoot with your left hand. They can't get to the ball that way. So this past Sunday night up at Pine, we were playing ball, and y'all know my brother Trey, he's a little bit shorter than I am, but got long arms, and I was dribbling, came in for a layup, and went to go up with my right hand, and I felt him climbing up my right shoulder. And whenever I felt him, I knew that if I was to shoot that ball with my right hand, that it was not going to go in. It was, in fact, going to go out of bounds because he was going to hit it. And it was at that point that I knew that it was right. If you're on the left side of the goal, shoot the ball with your left hand. If you shoot a layup on the left side, then you shoot the ball with your left hand. There's a right way to do things. And it takes work. It takes piles of work, because I shot it left-handed and I missed everything. Don't come natural to many people. If you believe that you're a natural, then start doing things with your left hand. Whenever I cut my finger a while back, I tape these three fingers together. And I had no idea how much that I needed this finger. It changed everything that I do. Try brushing your tooth. Brush your teeth left-handed tonight. I dare you. You'll get toothpaste everywhere. You know why? You've never done it before. Growing in God is the same way. It's just something that we've never done. It's something that we've never achieved. Breaking ourselves down to being poor in spirit, allowing the Word of God to soak in our life, allowing Jesus to change our life, is something that we haven't done. It's something that we haven't experienced. It's growing to a place that we've never been before. And if we're going to do that, it's going to be uncomfortable. It's going to be like brushing your teeth with your left hand. It's going to be awful. And I cut myself right here shaving last week because I was trying to shave left-handed. I've never done that before either. Turns out I'm very much a right-handed person. It feels weird and it's uncomfortable. But at the end of the day, we're better off for it. Allow the Word of God to be applied to our life. Allow it to change us. Allow it to soak in. Let's allow ourselves to believe the Word of God. Let's allow ourselves to be perfect Because the Word of God can do that for us. If we believe it, if we live it, if we prove it. Everything that Jesus said in chapter 5, everything that he said is commands, it's verbs. It's do this. Achieve this. Live like this. That is our goal. That is our commission. Well, we have a verse of a song. We're going to ask for a verse of invitation. Someone